Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know and we pray that you have begun to learn it out there on the internet, that God has called us to three commands through Jesus the Christ. And in those three commands, all the scriptures are wrapped up, both Old and New Testament, unto the glory of God. That we are called to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at a portion of that because we're looking at this ongoing series that I'm doing here called The Power of the Resurrection. We're going to be looking at living in peace, and that is looking at living in peace with God and just what that means for us and to us. And I want us to think about the reality of the peace that we do have and then how it becomes a portion of not only who we are, but what we need to be about in all things of our Christian walk. So today, as we move forward into this, we need to remember first off and foremost that He, Jesus Christ, is our peace. What does that mean? How do we access that, and how does it influence us? Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Colossians. We are going to be in the first chapter, Colossians chapter 1, and we are going to be in verses 10 through 23. Colossians. Chapter 1, beginning in the 10th verse. From the verse of 10 in the first chapter, the book of Colossians, we read these words. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from a dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, all and although you are formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you to His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get an amen? I just spoke a whole lot of theology to you. How many of you people know the Bible's full of theology? Open it. Yeah, open it. You will find out. This is one of the theological principles of who we are as Christians. How did this thing of peace come into being? Through the sacrifice of His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Through Jesus Christ's blood, we have peace with God. What kind of peace am I talking about? We are brought back into a relationship with God. We were hostile against God because in our sin, God could not even look upon us. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, each and every one of us, and yes, you out there on the internet, have been brought back into a right relationship with God that we can directly intercede with Him in all things in our lives. Now, does that mean you do that? No, many of us do things that we shouldn't do. Does anybody want to raise their hand on that? No, don't do that. Don't tell on yourself. Because the reality is each and every one of us does things that we should not do. You know, Paul speaks of it. And we all understand it because we find ourselves in it. There are many times in the heat of a moment we say things or do things that we shouldn't do. But we need to understand, we need to correct that behavior. And that's one of the problems that we have in the church. Because we're saved, I can do whatever I want. Wrong chicken. Your position does not give you the authority to be a butt in everybody else's life. And I mean B-U-T, okay, butt rich. Because I'm not the exception. I am to follow the rule. And the rule says I have to be a person of peace. The rule says I have to be a person pursuing after God. The rule says that if I am not pursuing God, I am not in Christ. Wait a minute, Pastor. You're supposed to be talking about the power of the resurrection and living in peace is a good thing. Yes, it is a good thing if you apply it. And the reality is many times we don't apply it and we want to make an excuse because, well, I'm upset. So? You think God's not? Doesn't stop Him from being good, does it? Why does it stop us? Why do we fall short? Why do we come to this place of understanding, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus Christ died for you not to act like that. And I'm looking at people and not trying to look at people because I don't want anybody to think that, oh, he's picking me out on that one. We all can look in that mirror, can't we? But the reality is we're to be trained up by these things. That when we say something stupid or do something stupid, one of the first things we have to do is admit I'm stupid. I love that. I got one young lady over here that shook her head yes. The rest of you are looking at me like, is he talking to me? She knows I'm talking to her. Praise Jesus. And she's going to have peace in her life. Because she recognizes, I'm the one who needs this. I'm the one who this is for. And it's for every one of us. And we have to walk in that peace. If we're going to have any kind of relationship with God, if we are truly going to find peace, that people don't bother us anymore. How many of you realize people bother you? Yeah. You're the problem. Miss Eva saw that one coming, didn't you? She was like, I know where he's going right now. And it's the truth because you're being petty. You're the one who is not walking in peace. Jesus walked in peace. What's peace? It's forgiveness. It's love. It's joy. It's hope. You see, peace is one of the greatest powers of the resurrection. But we have to pursue it. In fact, that's the second name I've put on this sermon, is pursuing peace. Because peace is something that God gives us through the resurrection because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are brought back into a relationship. Isn't that what I just read here? We are brought back into a relationship where we can now, because that price has been paid, we are dead in Christ, therefore we are alive to God, and we can have peace, which is what? Communion with God in all things. But we have to pursue that peace. We can't just simply say, I have peace, and then be a miserable Christian. I know a lot of miserable Christians out there. And there are times, say this with me, I are one. We got to work on it. You can say that too. We got to work on it. Because it is a work in process. And it's understanding that the peace we have with God is only as strong as we are in pursuing it. And that is something that is so hard to do in a world right now that is so upside down that at every turn it seems like everything's coming at us. Everything that is good is being called evil, and everything that's evil is being called good. Folks, have we read this book? Are we people of the book? Because if we are, we know that's going to happen. But we still need to be people of the book. We need to be Christians, Christ-like ones. And that means we need to pursue peace. If we are going to have the power of peace in our lives, we must pursue peace. And as we pursue peace, we will find a relationship with God that empowers us unto everything else we need. I want you to understand this. This is from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. This is Jesus Christ speaking to you and I. I'm going to throw a bookmark back here because I want to come back. Matthew chapter 12. When the Lord showed me this several years ago, it changed my life, okay? It changed my life. This was years ago. This was before I became a pastor. I was devouring the scriptures at that time. I had begun reading the New Testament, and I read the New Testament through four times before I even attempted to do the Old Testament, okay? And I don't know if it was on the third or the fourth time that I was reading the New Testament when I realized what this was speaking to me. From the 12th chapter, the 46th verse of Matthew, we read these words. From Matthew chapter 12, 46. It says, "While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, 'Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you.' But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, 'Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" I want you to understand something. Jesus here was talking about the peace that we now have in him. That through his blood, we become his mother, brothers, and sisters. We only have one father, amen? But we have many brothers and sisters and mothers within the church of Jesus Christ. Here, God is telling us, looking at the coming death of Christ Jesus, that we are brought into a family relationship. I want you to remember the context of this verse that we just read, these verses. Mary and his brothers had come to rebuke Jesus because he was saying and doing things that they didn't think were popular. Does that sound familiar to you? But Jesus says, "Who is my mother and my brothers? It is those who are doing the will of my Father." That's peace. As we come into that relationship, we can now bridge that gap where once we were enemies with Christ. Isn't that what we read back here? It says, pardon me, "He is the head of the body, which is the church. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you through his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him, God, holy and blameless and beyond reproach." That's peace. And that's what he says, brother or sister or mother, to each and every one of us. Jesus Christ gives us that peace. He is that peace. Man, that sound system is doing some weird stuff, guys. I sound like an alien right now in my own ears. But as we look at what Christ is doing here for us and through us and in us, we need to understand it's not just something that's simply given to us. Yes, it is there, but we must pursue it. We have to cast off the old stuff and bring on the new. How many of you will pick a brand new wool sweater out of a closet over an old worn one that is soft and broken in? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about, you know, when you're wearing a brand new suit, guys, how comfortable is it? It's not. You'd rather have that old worn out one that's in the closet because it's comfortable. It knows me. I know it. We have a relationship. Right? Yeah, that stain on the shoulder, that was from 25 years ago when I spilled gravy on myself. Still there, looks the same. You all know what I'm getting at. We like that comfort stuff, don't we? We go back to what we know. Jesus says, stop going back, let's move forward. It's new territory. The peace of God is something that we have got to become used to and longing for. And the only way we're going to experience it is by giving it away to others, by pursuing it to the point that others feel our peace, not our consternation. Woohoo! There's a thought for you. How much better would this world be if we as Christians stopped attacking those who are attacking us and loved them in spite of themselves? We do it on some basis, but I'm talking every basis. Every basis. Because we are either in Christ or we're not in Christ. And are we looking at what's being spoken? I want you to turn to your next scripture here because this is going to bring the points home to us. This is Peter. 1 Peter is where we're going first. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, you know, there are times when I think it's funny. People have said to me, oh, Pastor, you know, that was a really powerful sermon. You build us up. We really feel good. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, this is one of the best sermons I've ever preached because it's not only going to build you up, it's going to correct you and bring you into the place of holiness. Because I hate to tell you this, it's not all about good feelings, people. We are in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in the 10th verse. Because we need to understand that our salvation is something that we have to work out. Can I get an amen, church? And in the working out of that salvation, we will find peace. It is not simply something that is placed over you like Christmas wrapping. It is something we must work on with God. From the 10th verse of chapter 3, we read these words. The one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of the righteous, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the things in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it, so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, and just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. In which also we went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few That is, 8 persons were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Oh, I went way past, Pete. Sorry about that. I'm looking at my other scripture. That was 23, this one's 17. As we stop back here in verse 17, it says to us, and I love this, "For it is better if God should will it that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong." How many of us understand that is a definition of peace? Anybody read my shirt this morning yet? Yeah. I would rather walk with God and be judged by the world than walk with the world and be judged by God. You see, that's peace with God. When we walk with Him, the world's going to judge us. The world is going to come against us. We're going to suffer some things. We might have to wait for something a couple of minutes or a couple of days. Who knows? I have no idea. But if we have peace through it all, and we are of good cheer, and when that thing finally comes, how much more shall we appreciate it? And sometimes that's people in our own lives. But because we fall short, we negatively affect that towards others. Suck it up, cupcake. You got some work to do. So do I. But it is a work in process. It is something that we need to pursue. Why? Because peace is not natural to us. What is natural to us? Alienation. Because of sin in our lives, we are so used to being alienated. Quick words will come out. How many of us know what quick words are? My great-grandma used to say, "Stop using quick words." And I was like dumbfounded. Quick words. Yeah, when you react rather than respond, they're quick words. They're quick actions. And they're genuinely wrong. Because you haven't thought through what it's going to do, who it's going to affect, and how it's going to pile up in your own life. But when we think it through and we pursue peace, and all of a sudden we aren't given power to all this stuff out there that's coming at us, it's not controlling us. You know, we sang the song, "It is well with my soul." How can we sing that song if we're not in control? If the world, which is upside down right now, is in control of my life, how can I find peace? I can't. But if I am pursuing God in all things, remember what Jesus said? Love God, love others, and go. What does it mean to love God? It means we have to do what He's told us to do. That is one of the first commandments of love. We have to do what we're told to do. And not just do it, but be it. Isn't that what Peter says? Don't yet just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And in that, we have to understand that means we are being the word. That it is being manifest in us. And is that not what the Holy Spirit is doing in each and every one of us? He has empowered us with the peace of God. But we have to appropriate it to our lives. We have to pursue it into all aspects. I think about where we are as a society and how easy it was for peace to be taken away from each and every one of us through compromise. Through compromise. We all look at what's happening in the world. This is the men's ministry today, guys. We all look at what's happening in the world, and it's easy for us to point fingers and say, "Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but." Folks, stop. The world's screwed up. We were part of that. And if that's what we're doing is looking out there and pointing fingers, we are a part of it again. We have been called out of that into a place of peace where we need to be Christ first, where we need to hold fast to the hope that we have. And literally turn this thing around. Don't let the outside affect what's inside. Okay? Don't let the outside affect what's inside. How many of you people out there like hard-boiled eggs? I love hard-boiled eggs. In fact, my favorite hard-boiled egg is pickled eggs, red beet eggs to be exact, okay? But did you ever notice you don't put hard-boiled eggs in the shell in that vinegar and red beet juice? Why? Because with the shell on there, it can't get in. The vinegar can't get in. The spices can't get in. The red dye can't get in. But if you break that shell, become vulnerable to those things, it will change you. That's my point. When we take that hard shell off, that's our sin. That is our rejection of God. That is our hostility towards God. When we allow Christ to crush that which was death and open us up to life, we now are able, and this is why I love red beet eggs as an illustration here, we are now made available to the blood of Christ, and He permeates our body, and He changes us forever. And I'll tell you right now, I like hard-boiled eggs, but I love red beet eggs even better because they have a flavor and a taste that is beyond that which we know as just a plain egg. I don't want to be a plain egg. I want to be that looks like Christ, which means the blood of Christ needs to be over me, in me, through me, and poured out from me to not only flavor my life, but the world around me. Isn't it amazing how a piece of food can make you think about something so differently? And no, it's not time for lunch, so get your head back to the Bible. But when we think of what Christ is saying here, you know, if we desire life from verse 10, for the one who desires life to love and to see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We need to stop that stuff. We need to pursue. Isn't that what it says in the very next verse? It says that we must seek peace and what? Pursue it. It has a name. He is the Holy Spirit. We need to pursue the Holy Spirit in our lives, who will lead us unto all righteousness in Christ Jesus. And that is the power of the resurrection, that we can change, that we can become someone different, that we can be at peace with God every day of our lives in every situation. But that means when the ugly stuff comes up, what do we have to do, church? Stop. Stop. Before you send that comment out, before you say that thing you're about to say, before you make that gesture you're about to make, stop. I hate to ask this question because I had a professor in college that said he hated this, but I think it's appropriate here. What would Jesus do? Now, you and I can't answer that question. That's why the professor hated it, because it's like presuming you know the mind of God. Amen? How many of you know the mind of God? And see, this is where the professor and I argued. I know the mind of God. Yeah, Wendell got it. Right here. What's he tell me? What's he tell you? In black and white. What's he tell us? We know the mind of God. Seek righteousness, seek goodness, seek purity, okay? Loving kindness, graciousness, goodness, mercy, all those things. And then all these other things will be added unto you. How many of us understand, you know, isn't that what the Bible says? Seek ye first the righteousness of God, then all these things shall be added unto you. And that's why we need to pursue peace. Because it's alien from us. We don't know it anymore. It used to be who we were. Adam and Eve lived in peace. They were so peaceful, they were completely and totally ignorant. And they were happy. Until the serpent lied to them. And then everything changed because we got smart. I think that's an oxymoron, don't you? We need to come back to that simplistic relationship with God, that it's a trusting relationship, and we're walking in the hope that He's given us, under the guidelines that He's given us, under the hope that He's given us, which leads us to the peace which He gives us. And all of that through the resurrection, because that's where it started, with the blood of Christ. Turn in your Bibles to my last scripture today, which is 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. My pages are sticking. Verse 8 in 2 Peter chapter 3. I love what the Lord says here through the apostle, and I pray that we all get it, because I'm going to tell you, this is one of the hardest works. How many of us want peace? Seriously, want peace? We really do, don't we? How hard is it to find peace? Let's read this and see what it says. From verse 8, "Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also your beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness." That is a warning to each and every one of us to hold fast to the teaching of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is repent of your sins and be saved. The gospel is not God loves you, say a prayer. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is, I recognize I'm a sinner, I do evil, I need help. He is Christ Jesus, my Lord. I come unto Him. I reject my sin. I repent of my sin. I choose God in every situation, and I walk into the salvation of my soul, which I'll never accomplish on this earth. Man, do I have goosebumps. I am so tired of being told in the church, if you love God, plant your seed and He'll bless you. Can somebody show me that? It's not there, not in that context. God does bless the sower. Can we get an amen? But it's sowing in righteousness. It's not sowing for self-gain. We need to understand the peace of God is the going against the things of this world. And there are many in the church who are preaching a false gospel. And today I want us to remember the very last words that were said there. It says, "Therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. Don't let this world affect you in such a way that you push off what you know to be true. Hold fast to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we are told to hold fast how long? To the end. And I'm telling you right now, it's gonna get worse. How many of you are seeing what's happening over in Ukraine right now? How many of you are watching what's happening in Israel right now? How many of you are looking at what's happening on the world stage? You know, it's funny because all they want us to do is look at the United States. Wrong chicken, people. We're just a little blip on this thing that's happening in the world. But as we look what's happening with Gog and Magog and with Israel, you better start to understand Ezekiel's visions are coming true. And we are headed for the doorway to heaven. And each and every one of us has a short time to get things right with our friends and our neighbors as far as bringing them unto salvation. Jesus Christ tells us in the book of Jude that we are to literally shake the gates of hell. And I'll guarantee you, you don't have to go far to do it. Because it's in your house. It's in your car. It's every time you turn on the internet or anything else, the radio, other people, conversations at work. We are literally pressing against the gates of hell, even here right now in this church. And we have got to be about that truth. Speaking of the evil, therefore being in peace. You know, pastor gets fired up. Do you think I'm in peace right now? Oh, buddy, you ought to know the peace that floods my soul right now. Because I know I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and there is no other truth. Can I get an amen, church? And from that, we find a strength to go on every day. That's why I get up here on Sunday, to try and feed you something that's going to hold you until next week. Does that mean you're going to get through it all perfectly and wonderfully? I'm going to ask you, how many of you are going to screw up today? We know it. But don't let that stop you. The evil one wants to say, "Up, see, you did it again. You're never going to change." Doesn't Jesus already tell us that? "O ye of little faith." And then he makes provision, doesn't he? You see, that's why we have to understand, he's not just a man who died for us. He's God who died for us. An eternal sacrifice, not a bull, not a goat, not a sheep, not a ram, not a turtle dove. God Almighty gave his life that we may have peace. Brothers and sisters, if that's not power, I don't know what is, but we have to pursue it. This is one of the powers of the resurrection, that if we don't pursue it, if we don't seek peace, we'll not have hope, we'll not have joy, and most of us won't know love. We need to understand that the power of the resurrection comes with great responsibility. It calls us from what we were to who we are yet becoming. And it allows us to rely upon one who's able to accomplish that work. But that means we need to yield it up to him. And this is my question today. How many of us are willing to go back to the book of Matthew and have Jesus say to us, "Here are my mother and my brother and my sisters, for they do the will of my Father who is in heaven." If that's you, then I want you to pray with me right now. If that's not you, but you want to be there, I want you to pray with me right now. Father God, we come before you as your children. And Lord, we need peace in a world that has no peace. Lord, we need peace. That means we need to pursue you at all cost. That means we need to check ourselves at every moment. And Lord, it means we need you to stand in the gap. So Lord Jesus, as we pursue peace, we understand we're pursuing you because you have pursued us since before the foundations of the earth. May we be found in you in every situation, and may you be found in us as others look into our situation. And Lord, for those who are desiring this for the very first time this day, I say unto you, there is no such thing as a sinner's prayer. There is simply the prayer of a heart that says, God, I need you. And then you choose to walk with him in his ways, both now and forevermore. So be it, in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And the church says, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.